1 Corinthians 9:24, the Bible says, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run not as uncertainly, so fight I not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." Let's pray. Lord, thank you for today. Thank you again for the opportunity to be here with these guys. Lord, please, God, we need you to take control of the class and of our thinking, Lord. I pray you would please, God, give us some things that are needed, whether they're reminders, whether they're things we haven't heard before, Lord. But, God, just give us what we need today. Strengthen us, Lord. We want to be closer to you and love you more than we ever have. And, God, we need you to speak to us. God, I can't give these guys what they need, but I know that you can, and I'm asking you just to fill me and take control of everything that happens, Lord, my words, my thoughts, my spirit, Lord, and just give this to these guys and to me as well, Lord, what we need for today. Please, God, take control of this. Pray that you would be honored and glorified and pleased with what happens, and help us to obey what we hear today, Lord, and to try to put it into practice, to integrate it into our lives as soon as possible, Lord. And God, help us to hear your voice through the preaching, Lord. Thank you for all that you do. Bless this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You can be seated. So, guys, Paul is obviously writing here, the great Apostle Paul, and he's writing to the church at Corinth. Won't spend a lot of time on this, but Corinth, we know, had a bunch of problems, okay? If you browse through this book, he's basically getting on them, okay? There were so many problems that he was dealing with. Chapter 1, they were divided. Some of them said, well, I like this preacher. I'm of Paul. I'm of Apollos. I'm of Cephas, which is referring to Peter. And some were of Christ. And he's saying, listen, it's all about Christ. It's not about who your favorite preacher is or who you like to follow or all these kind of things. Many other things we could get into about this. They were carnal guys. They were saved, but they were still living like they were unsaved in their thinking. They were very worldly. They were proud. They had wicked sin going on in the church as far as fornication going on in the church. And you know what was going on? When people found out about it, they laughed about it. They weren't grieved. It didn't hurt them. It didn't bother them. They didn't say, man, we need to pray for this guy that he gets out of this horrible sin. They didn't care about that. They laughed about it. Hey, did you hear? Oh, my goodness. He did what? Wicked stuff. And Paul said, man, you should rather be ashamed of these things. There was Christians taking other Christian people to court in chapter 6. Guys, that shouldn't be. That should not be. As Christians, we should deal with things in the church and settle our differences like that. He's saying, if you can't judge, take care of your own problems, how are you ever going to judge the world and judge angels one day, which is what it refers to in chapter 6. They were having trouble with marriage and fornication, all these things, and meats offered unto idols, a bunch of different things. We get to the end of the book, which I'm not going to go to, but they were all confused about the resurrection. You guys have heard a lot about these things, but he's dealing with this church. But when it's almost like he kind of switches gears at the end of chapter 9 here, guys, and he's saying, listen, you guys are having a lot of trouble. You're bumbling around. You're getting in mess that you shouldn't be involved in. And it's like you're distracted and you're all over the place. You're meandering. You're aimless. He's saying, listen, guys, we've got a job to do. The verses before that, he's really dealing with mainly about winning people to Christ. Winning souls is one of his main themes right before this. But again, gets into verse 24. It says, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. He says, so run that ye may obtain. Listen, guys, he's given an athletic illustration from sports. They would have the Olympic Games back in that time. They would also have another type of thing like that called the Isthmian Games. But it was people that would do races. They would do strength competitions. And they would have these things. And people from all over would travel, kind of like the Olympics that we have now. That's where it comes from. But he's saying, you know that all these people run in a race, but only one receives the prize. And guys, at that last part of verse 24 is really where we lock in and get the heart of the message here. He's saying, so run that you may obtain. What does that mean, guys? He's saying, so run that you may obtain. What do you think it means?
Obtain the prize.
Yeah. He's saying, go after the prize. Be a winner. Try to get that into your life. And guys, the message is this: run to win. Run to win. Listen, he's saying when you got saved, you were placed in the race. Listen, guys, listen. Some people have the wrong mentality. They think when they got saved that that's like the end of the line. Guys, that's just the beginning. Listen, whenever you got saved, whether you were a kid or whether it was recently or whatever the circumstances are in your life, it's the beginning. Listen, you were placed in the race. You were placed in the ring. Now you've got a fight on your hands. Now you've got a race on your hands. And what Paul's telling us and the Holy Spirit is telling us more directly, he's saying, so run that you may obtain. He's saying, Wes, run to win. Ethan, run to win. Nathan, run to win. Tim, run to win. Uriel, run to win. Tom, run to win. What does that mean? Give it your best effort. Go for it. Put your foot on the gas. Give it all you got. Run to win. Guys, don't just be in this thing and run through the routine and go through the motions. Yeah, I know what we're supposed to do. God is calling us right here to give it our best. Listen, you are in the race. If you're saved, you're already in the race. You're not on the sideline saying, oh, I'm thinking about it. If you're saved, you're already in the race and everybody's going. But many are aimless. Many are wandering. Many are meandering around. They're lost over there in the woods. We need to get on our course and get about it. Get going in it. And guys, be in it to win it. Paul's example. Listen, Paul was saved. Paul was not saved as a child or as a teenager or even as a young adult, most likely. Guys, he was probably an adult man. And you know the story. He was zealous. He thought he was serving God, but he was really serving the devil. He was persecuting the Christians, right? Acts chapter 9. Hey, guys, Paul's example, he was all out. He was going for it. Philippians chapter 3, he talks about forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth unto those things which are before. What does he say? I press toward the mark. What does that mean? I'm giving it my all. I'm engaging every muscle. I'm going all out. I'm agonizing. I'm fighting for that finish line. He's saying, I'm giving my all. And guys, that's why he says, run to win. Hey guys, you're saved, but are you running to win? Listen, most of you are good, decent guys. You're not involved in deep sins. You're not messing around with certain things, but are you running to win? We have a lot of guys that aren't really doing that bad of stuff, but can I flip it around? You're not doing that really good of stuff either. I don't know what you just said. You're not a bad dude. You're not going to be selling drugs on the side of the street, which I'm thankful for. You're not going to be messing around with girls. Praise God. You're not going to be clicking on Phil. Praise God. That's awesome, God. But what positively are you doing for God? Have you ever got on fire for God and say, man, I got to give out these tracks. I've heard this stuff since I was in toddler class. But how many tracks you give out? How many tracks I give out? Do we ever talk to people? Do we ever have a passion? Do we ever go for it? Do we ever say, I got to pray for these people. I don't want to continue to just mess around and go through the motions and say, yeah, I'm not that bad of a guy. I want to do something passionately for the Lord. Listen, guys, Paul didn't waste his time. From the research I've done, guys, get this. It's from my estimation of it, Paul was probably saved and lived in the Christian life for 34 years. From the time he was saved to the time he died by getting his head chopped off by Nero. 34 years. Guys, that may seem like a long time to you. That's really not a long time. He didn't have 50 years to live for God. He didn't have 70, 80, 90 years to live for God. He had 34 years. But can I tell you, the life of Paul, you could probably say he lived a couple lifetimes for God with the amount of work that he did, with the impact that he made, with the influence that he made. Guys, because of Paul and Acts 16 and his turning toward Europe, you know, that's eventually how the gospel got here to America. That's why we heard it. Listen, because of the influence of Paul, I know it was the Holy Spirit working through him. I get all that. It was God's power. I get all that. It's not because of this human man. But guys, he made a legendary impact. We wouldn't be here on a human side without him as far as the gospel. Guys, he lived only 34 years from 33 AD to 67 AD. As far as being a Christian. But guys, he used every second. And guys, he impacted more people probably than anybody we can think of in the Bible other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Guys, he made an impact. You know what he's saying when he's saying run so that you may obtain? He's saying be the best you can. Hey guys, not everybody in this room is called to preach. That's fine. We're not trying to push you to do something God has not called you to do. If you are, be the best you can. Be the best you can. And guys, don't get the wrong idea. That doesn't mean if you don't have a big church with thousands of people coming to it that you're a failure. You just be faithful with whatever God has put in your lap. Whether that's something small, whether that's something big, whether that's something that is world renowned or nobody really knows about it. God sees what you're doing and it counts to Him and it's important to Him. But be the best you can. Hey guys, let me challenge you. Are you running to win? Are you running to win? Well, some, I'm not that bad. Great. But are you running to win? You know, we have a lot of people. Every Christian is in the race. But Tim, I really think we have a lot of guys that are just lollygagging, that are just chilling, that are just keeping up the speed with everybody else, Ethan, but they're not really going for it themselves. They don't want to look like a horrible sinner, so they'll keep up with their group of friends, but they're not really going for it themselves. I'm not saying you got to show up your friends and make them look like idiots. I'm not saying that. But guys, are you going for it yourself? Are you giving God 100%? Paul says, run to win. He's saying, listen, we don't know when Jesus will come back. Run to win. He could come today. Run to win. We don't know when we'll die. Run to win. Guys, we don't know how much longer the conditions in this country that we live in will be conducive to us getting out the gospel and preaching the word of God. Run to win. Time is of the essence. We've got to be intense. We've got to go for it now. Run to win. Run to win. Listen, it's all throughout the Bible. Colossians 3 says, whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men. Guys, you're not serving me or pastor or your parents or your teachers or your mentors. Listen, you are serving God. Do it with all your heart. Do we do that? Ecclesiastes 9, it talks about whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might. Do you do that? And I'm not slamming you. I'm just trying to say all of us need to get the right mindset. Because I think all of us guys, we can look at our group of friends and say, hey, I'm not doing that. In fact, I'm better than him at that. And in this regard of my life, I'm better than him. And compared to them, dude, I'm one of the best. Hey, that's all fine and good. But you don't compare. You're not supposed to compare yourself to them. Mm-hmm. You're supposed to compare yourself to the Lord. Mm-hmm. And can I tell you, when you do that, you always get the short end of the stick. Because none of us is there where we need to be. Hey, guys, are you running to win in your prayer life? Are you running to win in your Bible reading? Are you running to win in your soul winning? Are you running to win in your holiness? Are you running to win in your influence on other people, on the people that you can reach and that you can bring in? Can you do more? Are you giving it your all? He's saying, run to win. Don't just be in the race. Don't just be going along with everybody else. Don't just keep up the speed with everybody else. Don't just do what everybody else is doing. You give it your best and you run to win. Hey, guys. I'm not trying to preach on sports today. But listen, guys, we like talking about the finals and what's going on. Guys, those guys are putting it all out there for what? A trophy? Listen, I like watching it. I told these guys I was pumped up Friday night watching those last few minutes. Listen, but those guys are giving it their all, giving it their best. Those guys inside are pushing and shoving and working their strength. These guys on the outside are working their moves and their shots and all this kind of stuff. Hours of practice, years of practice has gone into that. Blood, sweat, and tears. These guys care. They're committed. But you know what? They are committed and dedicated to a ball game. And many Christians are so uncommitted to Christ. Do we see a problem there? I do. Run to win. Run to win. Let me get in to the points. The Bible talks about wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. Run, run, run to win. How do we do it? Point number one, there needs to be an intense pursuit. An intense pursuit, as we're talking about in verse number 24. He's saying everybody that's in a race is running, but one receives the prize. Run that you may obtain. Hey guys, get your mindset right. Get your eyes honed in on that finish line. Go for it. Give it your all. An intense pursuit. Can I ask you, have you just been cruising lately? Have you just been gliding lately? Have you just been going on momentum lately? Guys, you gotta keep pressing the gas. You gotta keep going for it. A lot of guys, they'll ride off the momentum of their parents, off of their friends, off of the church leadership, off of what we're doing. Hey guys, I'm all for the conferences, obviously, because we have one coming up. I'm all for the trips that we take. I'm all for the different events that we have over the summer and all the things we try to do for our young people. But can I tell you something? That is no substitute for you going to God yourself and getting what you need from Him. If we don't watch it, Ethan, we can ride the wave. Ooh, youth conference, Brother Kenny, woohoo. And then what's next? We go to this trip. Woohoo, that's great. And then let's go this place. Let's hear this preacher. And let's go here and have these activities. Guys, that's all fine. You know, all that is supposed to help you and encourage you and supplement. But can I tell you, listen, You're not going to hear one youth conference message and that change the rest of your life unless you meet with God on a daily basis. If the preacher is intense one of the nights of youth conference, but you're not intense every day in your Christian life, you don't make it. You get what I'm saying? It's not about the level of preaching. Man, that thing nailed it. How about you nailing it every day? And I understand some days you read your Bible and it's dry and it's dead and it's cold, but are you staying at it saying, God, I need something from you. God, keep my heart on fire for you. I don't want to slack up. He's saying, listen, if you want to run to win, then have this intense pursuit. Go after it. Go after it. Give it your all. I think many Christians, we don't have a focus on the Savior. The Bible talks about Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. You don't want to know what fires you up and that keeps that fire burning, keeps that excitement, keeps that passion, keeps that intensity at a high level? Keep your eyes on Christ and keep your thoughts on Him. Guys, when He was on that cross, it was for you. That blood shed was for you. Those nails through His hands and through His feet was for you. That crown of thorns was for you. That whipping from the cat of nine tails was for you. Every drop of blood was for you. All the pain, all the torment, all the agony was for you, was for me. That's what needs to keep us motivated and pumped up. And guys, let's be sincere. Let's be sincere. You know what the Christian life is about? It's that Peter walking on the water. When you keep your eyes on Christ, you'll be fine. But when you start getting distracted, that's when you're going down. That's the whole Christian life in a microcosm right there. Be sincere. We love Him because He first loved us. David said, what shall I render unto the Lord for all His benefits toward me? Hey guys, do you recognize what God has done for you personally? Do you appreciate it? And then do you throw it back to God and say, God, because of all you've done for me, what can I do for you? That's Psalm 116, verse number 12. Be sincere. Do it for Him. Guys, don't do the Christian life for anybody else. Do it for Him. And be serious. Be serious. That's what he's saying. Guys, can you imagine the NBA Finals? Game 5 shows up, and right before the game, you see all the team members of one of the teams joking around, playing around, messing around, playing practical jokes on each other. I don't know about you. If I was the coach, I would say, boys, what's the problem here? This is a big game. This could shift the series in one way or the other. You got to be locked in. You got to be serious. You know what I expect to see right before the game? The game face on. These guys looking intense. These guys looking locked in. These guys looking like this is the most important game they've ever played. Listen, again, that's for basketball. That doesn't matter. Your Christian life matters. How serious and how focused are you? Focus on what matters. Listen, this world is serious about making their money. They're serious about having their fun. They're serious about getting their possessions. How serious are you about serving your Lord? The Bible says, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and loses his own soul? They go after stuff that doesn't matter. I heard a preacher say this week, I thought that's a true statement. He said, many worldly people, they spend the first part of their lives gaining wealth, and then they spend the last part of their lives spending their wealth to take care of their health. I thought, man, that's very true. They spend all this time trying to make money, and then the last part of their lives, they spend all that money trying to keep their health up. Guys, that's life for many people, and what do they get at the end of the road? Nothing. You can't keep your health, and you can't keep your money. It's all gone. You squander it all. And guys, there needs to be a striving. Be serious. Be sincere. Have a Savior focus. And guys, there needs to be striving. When he says run that you may obtain, you know what he's saying? There needs to be a different way that you run from the average Joe. There needs to be a different mentality, a different mindset. Young man, you want to make it when many people around you are falling? Have a different mindset. Have a different mindset. Say, no, I don't want to fall. That grieves me. That bothers me. I want to make it all the way through. Hey guys, do you want to be a godly dad one day, a godly husband? I shouldn't get off on all that. But listen, if you want to be a godly husband one day, how's your purity doing right now? Because a lot of teenagers say, yeah, yeah, sign me up to be a godly husband. But you can't keep your eyes where they should be at 15 or 16 or whatever the case may be. Striving. Go for it. Go for it. Give it your all. There needs to be an intense pursuit if you want to run to win. Number two, there needs to be invasive preparation. Invasive preparation. The beginning of verse number 25. And every man, that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Guys, I told you to write down invasive preparation. Does anybody know what invasive means? It's fine if you don't. Basically, you know what invasive is? In your business, like all up in you. They'll talk about surgery sometimes. Yeah, this is kind of an invasive surgery. You know what that means? Yeah, we're going to have to do some cutting. Yeah, it's going to hurt a little bit. We've got to stick this tube up in you, something like that. You say, why do you call it invasive preparation? Because verse 25 says, every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Guys, what this is talking about is training. When it's talking about every man that striveth for the mastery, it's talking about he wants that prize. He's agonizing. He's struggling. He's fighting to win. And it says he's temperate in all things. You know what temperate means? Controlled, self-controlled. It's saying if you're competing for the prize, you have to have self-control. Hey, guys, you tell me. I'll let you take over this part of class. You tell me, what do some of the Olympic athletes do for training? You tell me. I think you guys have heard some of these stories.
They would wake up really early in the morning. They would work out, eat, work out again, eat, work out again.
Basically, right? Anything you guys want
to? They eat what they don't like to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they'll do it for the whole year, every day, no off days.
Yeah.
Until after working out, they're trained for whatever sport they're having to do.
Yeah. Guys, can I tell you that's pretty radical, right? And some of these guys, depending on the heat they're in or the race that they're in or whatever you call that, a particular sport that they're in, guys, some of these races are like 8-10 seconds. Mm-hmm. You spent four years for 8 seconds. Mm-hmm. That's radical. That's extreme, right? Mm-hmm. Every meal that they ate, they had the race in mind. Mm-hmm. Every day. Every time that alarm clock went off at, like Tim was saying, 4 o'clock or 5 o'clock in the morning, or maybe earlier than that, 3 o'clock in the morning. They had that mindset. It's for the race. It's for the race. It's for the race. I call that invasive. That gets in your business. Hey, guys, if you want to win the race, you can't be sleeping all day. If you want to win the race, you can't be eating them Twinkies before the race. You're going to be getting a cramp halfway through. All right? If you want to win the race, you've got to put your body through some punishment. You've got to go in that gym. You've got to work out. You've got to run. You've got to eat certain things. You've got to stay away from certain things. You've got to train and prepare your whole life to win the race. Hey, guys, I'm not saying you got to get up a certain time. I'm not saying you got to go to the gym 5 times this week. I'm not saying you got to drink some nasty, concoction thrown together in some mixer or some smoothie machine. I'm not saying you got to do all that. But as a Christian, what kind of training are you doing to be a godly man? Guys, it doesn't happen by accident. You know what our training is? Getting in the Word of God every day. You know what our training is? Getting on our knees every day. You know what our training is? Being at church 3 times a week. You know what our training is? Giving out tracts. You know what our training is? Living holy. Hey, guys, can I tell you, it does get in your business. It should get in every thought that you think and every word that you say and every song that you hear and the places that you go and the friends that you have. Hey, guys, do you have any friends that don't line up with the race? Do you have any girls in your life that don't line up with the race? I don't know why I keep stumbling in the race, Ethan. Maybe it's because of the girls I hang around. I don't know why I keep messing up in this race. Maybe it's because of the friends that I hang around. I don't know why I keep messing up in this race and I can't finish like God wants me to. Maybe it's the TV shows you're watching. Maybe it's the internet you're clicking on. Maybe it's the stuff on your phone. Maybe it's who you're texting. Hey, guys, preparation is for real. Training is for real. Guys, you can't just show up on the race course, in the gymnasium, on the field and say, all right, let's go play. We're going to win today. If you haven't prepared yourself ahead of time, you got no chance to win. You got to prepare yourself. You got to prepare yourself. Hey, guys, you want to live for God? What kind of preparation are you doing? How does it affect your thinking? How does it affect where you go and what you do? Think about it, guys. I hope you take some time to say, man, maybe there's some things in my life that I could cut out. Hebrews 12 talks about the weights that slow us down. Are there things, maybe they're not sinful, but you say, that's kind of slowing me down. It's not sinful, it's not awful, but maybe I spend too much time on that. Video games are not bad. They're not. But guys, if you're on them hours and hours and hours a day, that's a weight. And by the way, if there's wicked stuff on there, that's more than a weight. That's a sin. All right? It's crazy, dude. Some of these, you guys know more about them than I do, but some of these video games got some crazy stuff on there. Mm-hmm. Language and girls half-dressed and what? You're stealing cars in the video game? Yeah, that's great. Really know about that, guys, If you're Mario jumping around, that's one thing. If you're stealing a car, that's a whole different ballgame. All right? Unbelievable. The intense pursuit, the invasive preparation. Guys, this guy is compelled to do it. He's driven to do it. There's some cutting off of some things. Listen, you think there's some things this guy wants to eat that he doesn't? Absolutely. You think there's some places he wants to go that he can't? Absolutely. You think there's some relaxing that he would like to do that he cuts out of his life? Absolutely. Hey guys, this guy can't go to parties. This guy can't eat whatever he wants. He can't go out to dinner all the time. He can't, his whole life is curbed in. His whole life is for training to win the race. I'm not saying we got to be freaks. I'm not saying we can't have friends and do nice things, guys. But how's your training going? How's your training going? If you want to be good at something, you got to train. You've got to prepare yourself. And a lot of Christians, we don't. Hey guys, you want to be a better soul winner? When you walk out of church today, say, I need some tracks in my pocket. You know, you're never going to pass out a track that you don't have in your pocket. You know, it's just amazing. God's not going to magically put one there. Lord, I haven't put tracks in my pocket for months. But God, I know you provided for Moses and the Israelites in the wilderness. And God, you can come through. It's not going to be there. You got to do that yourself. You got to do that yourself. The invasive preparation. Guys, ask yourself, Lord, what more do I need to do to have better character? What more do I need to do to be faithful? What in my life is maybe a rough edge that I need to cut off, that I need to smooth out so I can do more for you and be consistent and have character? Hey, guys, it stinks, but we have a lot of people that for a while do pretty good. My goal in the Christian life, I want to be consistent. I want to be consistent. I want to be consistent. My favorite character in the Bible, does anybody know who it is? If you don't, that's totally fine. I'm not going to be... Paul, no. Good one, but no. It's Daniel.
Jesus.
yours is probably a cripple. No, just kidding. All right. I'll come back at you, all right? Yeah, that totally threw me off, all right? You know why Daniel is my favorite Bible character? Not Judas, but Daniel. It's because when Daniel shows up early on in the book of Daniel, guys, he's a teenager. Mm-hmm. He's a teenager, probably 17, something along those lines. When he's thrown in the lion's den, Daniel chapter 6, he's in his 80s or 90s. Mm-hmm. You know what that tells me? His whole life, Tim, consistent. Mm-hmm. His whole life, he's living for God. His whole life, he's making a difference. Guys, that's what we need. I've seen a lot of guys for a couple years, man, they're like one of the greatest Christians around here. And then they fizzle out. It's like, whatever happened to him? Dude, he used to make a difference in people. He used to disciple guys. Now he's not even here himself. I don't want to be that. How do you train to be consistent, guys? By that preparation, by that training. If you don't want to quit halfway through your marathon, halfway through your race, how's your training going? Mm-hmm. Invasive preparation. Point number three, there's an incomparable prize. Incomparable prize at the end of verse 25. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I'll try to be quick with the rest of these. They do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. Guys, in the races back then, if they would win the marathon in the Olympics from that time frame, you know what they would get? They would get a little crown, but it was like a wreath, some kind of plant. It was a little wreath. I don't know about U.S., I'd be pretty disappointed. If I trained and I worked my tail off and I got out there and I beat everybody and then they give me this little wreath to put on my head. Guys, in a couple of days, that thing's going to be dead. That's why Paul says they do it to obtain a corruptible crown. It's going to corrupt. It's going to decay. It's going to be gone. And guys, I know we live in the day and age now where if a team wins a championship or some individual wins something, they get a trophy or they get a ring or they get some kind of medal. Guys, but can I tell you, those things can tarnish. Those things will pass away. Listen, guys, I could test you guys and say, well, who was the Super Bowl champion in 2012? And we're thinking probably the Patriots, you know. But listen, what my point is, after a while, we forget. It's not that big a deal anymore. We live in the moment. It's about who's winning now, who's going to win this series. That's all we care about. Those things pass away. They're not as important anymore. Guys, this is what the world does. They go after these prizes, these worthless prizes of the world, and these things will pass away. Listen, that's why the Bible tells us, Matthew chapter 6, don't lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. That'll last forever. And then it says, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Guys, where are you laying up your treasure? Is it all about your friends here? What people think about you on social media? Blah, 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 blah. My reputation, my status, even my accomplishments. Or is it what I do for God, the people that I reach, the prayers that I pray, learning more about the Lord and getting closer to Him, the incomparable prize. They go after these things that will one day be done away. Guys, but our labor for the Lord is not in vain. Everything you do for God counts. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Guys, the prize, if you would, that we have waiting for us is a mansion in heaven, John 14. Crowns that we can win, 5 different crowns that the New Testament talks about that we can win for Christ. It's talking about pleasing Christ and hearing, well done, thou good and faithful servant, and getting rewards from Him. Guys, those things won't wither away. Those things will last. They will last forever. They won't decay. They won't devalue. They won't depreciate. They won't be forgotten. Listen, the world goes after these things. They tarnish. They decay. Nobody cares about them anymore. You guys have probably heard these Super Bowl champions from years past. They get in money trouble. You know what they do? They sell their Super Bowl ring. They sell whatever medal they got. A gold medal that they won in the Olympics. They'll sell them sometimes. Why? Because those things aren't as important anymore to them. But for a time in their life, their whole life revolved around that. Hey guys, the crowns and the prizes that we win, they last forever. They won't be devalued. Point number 4, the intent purpose. The intent purpose. The intent purpose is verse 26. Paul says, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. Guys, what does that mean? Can you track with me? Verse 26. You say, I'm writing, I'm thinking, too much going on here. Verse 26. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. What's he saying? Any thoughts? What's he saying?
Like, he doesn't run just for no reason.
Yeah, he knows his path that he's taking.
He's got a purpose for what he does, right? Guys, he's saying, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly. I'm not just wandering around not knowing where I'm going. I'm not meandering. I'm not aimless. Guys, he's saying, I'm not on the race course just saying, man, look at that. Look at that mountain over there and everybody's passing me. Wow. I wish somebody had a camera. We could take a picture of that. No, he's saying, I'm in this thing for a reason. I'm in this race for a reason. I'm running hard. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly. And then he says, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. He said, I'm not shadow boxing here. I'm not just swinging my arms because I don't know what to do. Every punch that I throw has a purpose behind it. I know exactly where it's going. I'm trying to throw it right between the devil's eyes. Listen, he says, I have an intent purpose of what I'm doing. Guys, my point here is this. Are you intentional about what you do for God? Listen, guys, as I keep saying, you want to live for God, you want to be consistent, you want to be a man of God over the long haul, how you doing with your Bible every day? That's where it's at. It's got to be intentional. Hey guys, is there a time that you have memorized a verse of Scripture that you needed to strengthen you, not because somebody told you to, but because you needed it for yourself? Or because it was an assignment on a school project, but you did it for yourself? You say, man, Ethan, that's a good verse. I need that. You know, I'm going to work on that this week. And it's not your dad, you better do this. Or me, come on, Ethan, do. Man, I need to do it. Guys, you know what that tells me? That tells me you have an intent purpose about what you're doing. And guys, it's not even so that we can quote it from behind the pulpit. It's so that when I'm struggling, Tim, that I have that verse coming to mind and it'll help me win the battle and win the fight against sin. The intent purpose. Guys, have that mindset. Have that motivation. Guys, I could stand here all day telling you about story after story after story of Christians, both adults and teenagers. They're in the race. They're saved. But man, they're not running very hard. They are all over the place. They get distracted at the easiest thing. They stop. They quit. They get discouraged. And I get it. We have ups and downs. But guys, are we staying consistent in the race? You don't need me to bring up all these examples and all these illustrations. It's all over the place. You know what I'm talking about. There's a mindset. There's a motivation. You got to move in line with that. Hey guys, Proverbs 4 says, ponder the path of thy feet and let all thy ways be established. You know what that means? If I want to end up over there, then every step that I take needs to take me closer and closer and closer to that goal. I can't say, Nathan, I'm going over there. Boy, I'm going over there. You guys are like, you're not getting any closer to over there, Brother Tom. You're moving in the wrong direction. But that's what a lot of Christians do. Ethan, God's called me to preach. I'm going to be a preacher one day. God called me. I remember that emotional service at youth conference.
And I shed a lot of snot on that altar, man. Yeah. It was holy. And that's what I'm going to be one day. When I'm 45. But I think I can mess around with this cheap girl. But that's what I'm going to be. That's where I'm going to end up, Brother Tom. But I'm going to take this job that keeps me out of church 2 Sundays out of the month.
You are not going to end up there. You don't need me to be a rocket scientist and teach you all the physics of this. If you're trying to go over there, every step has to get closer. Proverbs says, ponder the path of thy feet. You want to end up there? Plan your life. Have some goals. Have some things. I want to get there. And if I want to get there, I've got to perform in line with that. We've got to move in line with that and then make it part of my ultimate goal. Hey guys, Paul said, listen, I don't have a lot of time to waste here. Every move that I make in my life, I want it to be about glorifying God, about reaching people, about building churches, about encouraging people. Listen, guys, he's sitting in a jail cell, but what is he doing? The Holy Spirit's inspiring him to write verses of Scripture. What is he doing? He's encouraging Timothy. Timothy is a young pastor. Paul said, I'm going to die soon, but I'm going to encourage this young man to carry on the work of God. You see, every move in his life, it was for a reason. It was for a purpose. He was intentional about what he did, deliberate. About what he did, the intent, purpose, and then point number 5 and last, the individual persistence. The individual persistence. Verse number 27, and we'll finish up here. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Hey guys, Paul is writing to this church that's struggling, that's bumbling around, that's had a lot of slip-ups, and he's saying, guys, get on track, get on course, get your mindset right, and get running for that finish line. Run to win. But you know what he says? You know what verse number 27 has a lot to do with? Discipline. He's saying, I keep under my body and I bring it into subjection. Guys, let me stop right here. He's saying there's times that my flesh wants to pull me off track. And you know what he's saying? I beat it in subjection. No. We're not looking at that. You say, whoa, time out, Brother Tom. Paul? Paul's like the greatest Christian outside of Christ in the New Testament. Yep, I agree with you. Paul wrote like half of the New Testament. I agree with you. He did. Even Hebrews. Hope Tim's on board with that. But even if he's not, he's wrong. No, I'm just kidding. Huh?
Donkey.
No, good. As long as you don't say Judas like this guy. Man, you know, way off track, all right? Well, listen, he wrote more than half of the New Testament. Guys, he started so many churches. He witnessed to all these people, probably thousands of people in his life. But you know what he's saying? There's times that my flesh wants to pull me off. Mm-hmm. And there's stuff that he says, I bring my body into subjection. You know what he's saying? I have to tell myself, no, you're not looking at that. You're not listening to that. You're not going there. You're not thinking that, Paul. He had to keep himself in line. When he says, I keep under my body, bringing in subjection, you look it up in Greek, really what he's saying is I give myself a black eye. I have to tell myself, no, you're not thinking that. You're not going there. You're not acting like that. Guys, this is the same man, even though he was a great Christian and all this, this is the same man that said the things I want to do, I don't do, and the things I don't want to do, I struggle with. I'm paraphrasing, but guys, he's saying, I have these battles in my life. If you want to win the race, guys, you've got to have discipline, the individual persistence. Hey, guys, you know what he's saying? I got to stay on myself. I got to be hard on myself. Hey, guys, when you start being lax on yourself and letting certain things be allowed in your life, watch out. You're setting yourself up to fall. He says, I keep on my body bringing in subjection. Why? Why am I so hard on myself? Paul's preached thousands of sermons. Paul started all these churches. He's led thousands of people to the Lord. Monumental figure in the New Testament. One of the greatest Christians of all time. The Hall of Fame. The Hall of Faith. I'm sure Paul will have a prominent spot in it. But you know what he's saying? Let me ask you guys. He's saying, I'm so hard on myself. The first part of verse number 27. Why? What does the rest of it say? Why is he so hard on himself? He says, lest by any means when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. What is that talking about?
Live what you preach, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Don't get it. Okay. Doesn't want to be on the bench.
Yeah. You know what he's saying? He's saying, God has used me in great ways. But if I don't stay hard on myself, and keep a tight reins on my thinking and on what I do. He's saying, lest by any means, when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. I could preach to other people the truth and then fall into the same stuff I told them to watch out for. You say, that could never happen. You ever read in the Bible where it says, I will put no wicked thing before mine eye? You know who the human writer of that was? David. And what is David, one of the infamous things he's known for? Looking at something wicked before his eyes. A woman with no clothes, and then he messed around with her, right? Mm-hmm. Hey guys, all throughout the book of Proverbs, Solomon's saying, watch out for the strange woman, Proverbs 5, Proverbs 7, and other places as well. But you know what he fell to? The strange woman. A whole bunch of them, in fact. Hey guys, just because you preach to others doesn't negate the devil's temptations in your life. Paul's saying, I don't want to have all this time where I've done well, and I've served God, and I've made a difference, and then I start slacking up on myself and taking it easier on myself and saying, well, I've never allowed myself to look at these things, but I think I can handle it. I've never allowed myself to listen to this type of music, but I think I can mess around with it. Paul says, if I do that, then I'm going to fall. And the stuff that I preach to other people, I will violate myself. And then, as like you guys were saying, God would put him on the shelf. A castaway means that he would be disqualified from service. God's saying, I've used you in great ways, but you've disqualified yourself. And I'm sticking you on the shelf, Paul. I'm not going to use you anymore. And guys, this is not preached on very much, but for a Christian, if you continue to live outside of God's will and outside of God's will, and God gives you warnings and God tries to bring you back in, you say no and no and no and you resist it. Guys, it is very clearly stated in the Bible, God can take you out of here. And I'm not talking out of teen boys walk-to-walk class. I'm talking God can take you to heaven. You're saved. You won't end up in hell. You trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. But if you continue to tell God no, God says, fine. You are disgracing me here on earth. I better get you out of there, and he'll take you up to heaven. That is clearly laid out in the Bible. We don't hear that a lot, but that is true. It's in there. The individual persistence. Discipline yourself, guys. Stay hard on yourself. Stay on yourself. Don't be deceived by Satan thinking that you can handle some of these wicked things that nobody can handle. And he's saying, I've declared the scriptures to other people, but if I allow these little things in my life, I can be disqualified from service and put on the shelf. Hey guys, how do we run to win? Intense pursuit. Go after it. Invasive preparation. How is your training going? Day in and day out. Guys, you can't take a break. You can't take a vacation from it. You've got to stay on yourself. The incomparable prize. Remember how the prizes and the rewards that we get never fade away. They'll last forever. Guys, have a purpose for everything you do. He's saying, I'm not just shadow boxing. I'm not just swinging my arms. I'm not just running wherever. No, every step is for a purpose. Every punch is for a purpose. I've got a pinpointed aim with everything that I do. And then there's individual persistence. Paul said, I've been running at this race for a long time. I've been running hard. I've been reaching a lot of people. God has used me in great ways. But if I slack up on myself, the stuff that I preach to other people, I could violate myself. I told them not to sin, but yet I fell into sin. I told them not to look at that, but I could look at it. And I could fall to the stuff I've told people not to fall to. It takes persistence. It takes discipline, guys. Stay on yourself. Hey, guys, you may be a good guy in here, but don't let up. You listening? I'm done. You may have done good in your life, led people to the Lord, preached good sermons. Don't slack up. Don't put it on cruise control. Oh, I'm good. I can handle this. I'm fine. No, no, no. Stay on yourself. Stay on yourself. Listen, if it was wrong a few years ago in your life, it's probably still wrong right now. Don't slack up. Don't slack up. Why? Because if we slack up, we could be used by God before, but now put on the shelf. Because God says, you know what? He's unusable. Because he's got filth in his life, I can't use him anymore. Paul doesn't just say, just go through the motions, just do what you want. No, he says, run to win. Hey guys, are you giving your all so that you can run to win? You're not in a competition against other Christians. I believe this is about your potential for God. Are you going to give your all and fulfill your max potential for God? It's about the mindset, run to win. Hey, are you running to win? And am I running to win? That's what I want you guys to consider today. Let's bow our